Do visiting teams even practice when they go to Vegas, or they just like head straight for the VIP or the champagne room or something? I mean, come on.
The bottle service in the visitors' locker room is amazing.
Right? Happy 2018, everybody. Welcome to the Pucknologists here on FieldTownUSA.com. Let's hope 2018 is just sketch better than 2017. With me, as always, on one side of the States, we have Hockey Jerk. What it is.
I've made my triumphant return to the Pucknologists podcast after, like, it feels like it's been, like, a solid month that I've been gone, but I managed to chew my way out of the cage that AJ had me in, and I'm back, and I'm ready to rumble.
And on the other side of the States, straight out the icebox, we got Rocket Backhander, y'all.
From the deep freeze, area code 615 representing. My name is Rocket Backhander, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening.
Since we last left you, and it was a while ago, kids, before the holidays, before we took our little break, since then, the Sharks have put themselves together a record of 21-12-4, good for 46 points right now, still remaining third in the division. Kings at second right now with 51 points, and like everyone predicted, the Vegas Golden Knights not only leading the Pacific, but the Western, I mean, come on, 54 points, get the 9-0-1 over their last 10. Do visiting teams even practice when they go to Vegas, or they just like head straight for the VIP or the champagne room or something? I mean, come on.
The bottle service in the visitors' locker room is amazing.
Right? It's just insane. So the last game was Sharks at Edmonton. The Sharks pulled a 5-3 loss out of this one. We all remember this because Logan Couture went out with a concussion. Bodker actually returned from an upper body injury. No one noticed. The Sharks did well in the special teams, but totally sucked on even strength, and they only got 21 shots on goal against Edmonton, who'd been giving out shots on goal like, I'll leave the after dark joke here off to the side. Hockey Jerk, do you remember when we played Edmonton? It was a while ago.
Yeah, I'm really trying to remember this game. I mean, between, you know, my own personal stuff going on and then our Christmas break, it's like trying to snap back into reality here. But, you know, Sharks really probably should have came into Edmonton and, considering the playoff loss of about 7 months ago, they scored 3 goals, which generally speaking is good enough to get you a win. But plot twist, the Oilers scored 5 goals on the back of not Connor McDavid.
He did not have
a goal. He didn't even have a point.
Right.
If the Oilers are firing without McDavid getting a point, then that's of considering that the Sharks are in the same division, but I still think that the Oilers have a lot of things to figure out amongst themselves, which kind of makes me feel okay. Yes, it was a bad loss, but you know, they've got 3 more games against them this year. So I think ultimately if the Sharks can keep playing the way they've been playing, I think that may be a more even matchup.
Yeah, that's it was like the Strom and Draisaitl show in this one. Like, I think both just those guys could have beaten the Sharks that night. That was a bad one. Rock, did you even get a chance to see this one? And if you didn't, you really didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. This week, I actually had had a whole lot to do. At the small boutique I work at, we had a fire. And yeah, I know. And then that was fire followed by flooding. So it's been, and then the pet shop next door had a burglary and there was a whole handful of snakes in the store the other day. I don't ask me how this works. Just things have been pretty crazy. So suffice to say, I haven't been able to keep up with the games as much as I've wanted to. And I'm very sorry. And I missed this game.
But the mini series of Rocket's holiday adventures will be coming out sometime next summer.
Snakes.
It's on the DVD bonus.
Yes, absolutely. So after that, the Sharks come back home to host three, starting off with the Vancouver Canucks. They get a five-four overtime victory. This one probably being payback for losing in overtime to the Canucks just a week earlier. But in this one, Deller gets another start, and Couture still out of this one with the concussion symptoms. Paul Martin having a burrito with the Cuda still. Hansen gets a great look towards the end of this first. I mean, Hansen, he's been given opportunity to skate with the Joes, and you would have swore there was a force field at the goal line. Like, the puck literally hit the goal line and then, like, bounced back somehow. It was like somebody was using the force. I don't get it.
That morning, I sent out a tweet, and I said Yannick Hansen is playing on the Joe line tonight, which means if he does not score, then he may never score again. And then that happened. So far,
Hansen has not scored a goal.
I regret to inform all of you that Yannick Hansen will never score another NHL goal ever.
Well, if he does, it'll probably only be against the Canucks, you know.
That's very possible.
The real cool thing about this one, Banker had himself a night, not only picking up three assists, but gets the game-winning goal in overtime. Jumbo snipes two power play goals and grabs an assist, coming oh so close more than a couple times in this one to getting the $100,000 hat trick. The Sharks' defense, however, just completely disappeared, but the Sharks' power play came to go. I mean, 3 for 5 on the power play in this one, while O'Regan and Bodker pretty much just keep the bench warm during the third period, or as Rocket likes to say, you know, make sure you get that door opened and closed, guys. So, and then
every job is important,
right? Every little job. The only big highlight of this one, there was no retribution for Burmistrov from, you know, the hit. Who did Burmistrov hit? It wasn't Couture, was it?
Yeah, he hit.
That was the one that gave him the concussion, and then he retired a week later.
I forgot. This was like almost home and home. This was home and home with Edmonton in between. Yeah, so there was no retribution, although he did end up retiring like a day later. Figure that one out. I guess just, I don't know if it's the money, not getting enough ice time, but 26 years old, and he said, I'm out of here. I'm going to the K. You guys can have a good time.
I did also read that there was some kind of rift between him and the Canucks head coach, Travis Green, which, you know, if I'm a Canucks fan and I say, okay, Travis Green or Burmistrov, I'm saying, sorry, Burmistrov, but, you know, we got to stick with Travis Green because, you know, Travis Green, I've said it many times before, you know, the Canucks needed a coach who's never coached in the NHL before, and they have one in Travis Green. And I think he's learned from his mistake of scratching Brock Besser in the beginning of the year. And he's done a lot of good things with the young players he has. And I keep saying it, you know, as much as we like to bust on Vancouver, they actually have some solid pieces in their organization.
Doing better than we thought. I mean, obviously Besser, another guy who got on the score sheet in this game was, of course, the one and only Vertanen. So that, yeah, they have some pieces. I think once they get rid of the Sedin sisters, they might start putting something together there with any luck.
Bo Horvat also being out for 6 to 8 weeks doesn't help.
Yeah. Bo, the guy that Rocket wanted to trade everybody for. Yes. See?
Definitely a breeder with that guy.
So after getting the overtime victory versus the Canucks, the dreaded LA Kings come to town. This just happened to be Martin Jones' 100th he got his 100th NHL victory in this one. And, of course, it comes via a shutout versus his former team. No, not the Boston Bruins, his other former team. So, Joki Ryan came into this one. Tim Hede went out. This was just a terrible display. If the officials or the you know, the people, the head, the whoever's in charge of officiating up there, if they want to show a game of what not to do, I mean, jerk, just show them this game.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was, you know, as we saw, especially in the third period, it got very, very physical, very chippy. I mean, especially, you know, Doughty totally laying into Donskoy, Brodzinski tripping Braun. I mean, there was just a lot of, I don't even know if weird is the right word, but like you said, just if you want to say, hey, this is how you don't become a referee is by doing this. And, you know, usually in games like that, we'll see the refs just toss guys if they're going to continue to be a pain. And I can't recall if anybody got tossed, but
nope.
Yeah. See, well, there you go. And it would have been smart for them if, especially the same guy, and this goes for Sharks and Kings. This is not a biased statement here, but you know, if the same guys are going to continue to cause problems in the third period of a game, just toss them because they're just making things slow down.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted during this game, like really early into this one, saying the refs need to get a hold of this like pretty damn fast because this is going to get out of control. They went completely blind at one point where Doughty just gives a two-handed slash job on Donskoy, and somehow Donskoy was the one who got called for slashing at that point. I mean,
I love it when Drew Doughty flips his lid. Like, that's my favorite because he just goes straight Geico caveman. That's fun to watch.
Going along with kind of, I don't know, I guess putting together little spurts. We talked about LeBanc having a night. This one, Sorensen gets the first goal of this one. It's the second in his last three games. Of course, that ensured that no one won the first goal guess contest that the Sharks do. But yeah, Jones gets that 100th victory, so that was fantastic. But my favorite part of this is the Kings coach, John Stevens, no longer your favorite Sutter and mine, Daryl. It's John Stevens now. But he comes out and says, the thing I don't like in a game like that is the power plays were lopsided. Now, obviously you say because the Sharks went 1-for-5 in this one, Kings went 0-for-2. Yeah, the reason why there were that many power plays is because the Kings kept on doing stupid stuff, man. So that was one of those things that gets on my nerves when a coach says something stupid like that. And it's like, you need to go look at the tape, dude. You're lucky. This was one of those ones that we're talking about 7 power plays. Or, you know, in this one, we were talking about all the, if you think about all the stuff that they didn't call, this could have been much worse.
Yeah, I agree, especially when you consider the magnitude of the rivalry, especially in the last 6 or 7 years. I mean, for all that's said, you know, about how, you know, the Oilers are the new rivalry and people still like to hate the Ducks for some reason. But no, it's Sharks and Kings, you know, is the deepest rivalry. And this game could have got way more out of hand, especially when we've seen, you know, each team kind of embarrass each other in the playoffs, each team forcing the other team to pick a new captain. I mean, these teams have done a lot to each other, and this game could have got way more out of hand. So I think John Stevens should consider himself lucky that even chippier and, I guess, strictly officiated or not strictly officiated game, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, if they had really swallowed their whistles and somebody got like hurt on a mega scale, that you think the rivalry's bad now?
Well, this third this is the third of 4 meetings, and they've all been pretty tight. But right now, the Sharks do have the edge 2-1 out of those, and we'll see them again on. As funny as the schedules are, you think about how physical the games are against them. But no. The next time the Sharks face them, it will be on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I have a dream. The Sharks can win that one. So after that, the Sharks host the Calgary Flames, get a 3-2 victory in the shootout. And we will get to Rocket's comment about that in one moment. But Jones follows up his 100th NHL win with the 32 save victory. This one actually started off kind of boring for me, guys. Then, of course, it got pretty damn exciting in OT and obviously the shootout. Sharks got a lot of looks in the overtime. I don't know why they couldn't have done it before going to shootout. But Pavs gets the opening Sharks goal and just a beautiful 5-holer shot. I mean, God, it was sweet. And then, you know, Backlund, or, well, we had, you know, go from Hathaway in the first, go from Backlund, Timo tying it up in the third. Timo, all of a sudden, coming on strong here over the last few games. But this all came down to the shootout, guys. And Donskoy with a filthy shootout goal to win. I don't understand why he shot third in this. The way he's been putting it together, I think you definitely put him second. But what does Donskoy do?
He fakes to the forehand and moves to the backhand with such an easy motion that he fools the goalie. I think, or if it's he puts it on his backhand and moves it to his foot, one of them. He could put it on his foot and end up with it on his elbow, for all I care. I unfortunately, again, so there was snakes, right? And we got the snakes out. And then we had a sale because, you know, we had to get rid of some stuff because of the fire, which was great. But that involves a lot of, you know, changing all of the inventory and stuff. And it was a big mess. And so finally we cleaned up after that. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see any of this game either.
So my question for you then is, how much do partially melted sunglasses cost?
They, we didn't sell the partially melted ones. I mean, we did, but not as functioning sunglasses. We sold them as, like, you know, art supplies for mixed media art projects.
Okay, that's fair.
Because on the other side of the pet store is a crafting studio. So we just kind of cross-promoted.
Okay. I was actually, the answer I was in fact looking for was Donskoy dangles goalies till they're spent, but I can always drop that in later.
I'm dense. I'm so dense. I'm so sorry about that. Yeah.
Sorry. No sorry. Problem. Sorry.
But yeah, he does dangle goalies until they're spent.
And the other fun part about this was Burnsy logging almost 30 minutes of almost 29, I should say, 28:52. But, you know, big deal because Giordano had 28:59. So take that, Burnsy, you and your beard.
I just want to interject here quickly. My favorite part of this game was after Donskoy's shootout goal and the cameras cut to the bench and they show the Sharks players all jumping on each other and stuff like that.
It's like kumbaya moment.
That, just for those of you who are curious, because, you know, the three of us technically don't live in the same-ish geographic area. Whenever the three of us get in a room together, that's pretty much all that happens, at least for the first 10 minutes.
He's not lying.
So after that awesome victory, the Sharks leave the comfy confines of SAP Center, head down to Big D, and found a huge L.
I was going to say the Sharks took a huge D
in the middle of the ice.
Yeah, that was a huge dump, all right. I mean, just ending 2017 with the worst game of the season is not even up for debate. Although, I mean, I do remember the first game against LA this year at the Tank was a pretty brutal game. This one was, in fact, worse. But you're going to hear this from every coach. These games happen throughout the course of a season. We all remember the Sharks beating the Oilers 7-0 in the playoffs last season.
Oh, I was on the ice for that game. Like, I was on the glass. Me and Puck, I were there. Ah, that was fun.
Sweet. But in this one, Jones gets the hook after two periods. Feels like Jones has gotten the hook a lot more this season than the previous two, like, combined, but maybe that's just me. The good news, if there was any to take from this game, was Couture returned after being out for about three games or so. Hockey Jerk, I mean, what are you going to say about this, you know, D of a game?
The bright side in this game is that Aaron Dell came in during the third period, and because he played less than half the game, it doesn't count as a loss, despite the fact that he finished it.
And deservedly so.
Yeah. My favorite part about this game was when it ended. As we all know, it was New Year's. It was New Year's Eve, and there were good times and parties and things to be had. So quicker it got over, the better.
Yeah, this one was just, there's a guy on Dallas, for those of you who don't know, and I probably butchered the name, but
that's why.
Yeah, that's what I figured. There's a guy on the team that had 3 assists. I believe his name is Foxa.
Foxa.
Yeah, that was so. Yeah, after that game, I was like, oh, for Foxa's sake. Jesus. That was a bad one.
Why do I let you do that?
So to finish it off, the Sharks go to Montreal and pick up a 4-1 victory after heading back east into the icy caverns of the Bell Centaur. Dell picking up another start again. Jumbo opening the scoring in this one. Why so much shooting from Jumbo lately? It's very
I know why.
Uh-oh, bring it on.
It's because they talked about it. They're like, yeah, bud, just going to try it, see if it works. And so he's tried it, and it felt good, and it's worked, so he just keeps doing it, bud.
Yeah, bud. Vlasic buries a follow-up on a Bodker shot, which we all knew Bodker wasn't putting that in. It took a 5-on-3 for Montreal to actually get on the board in this one. And then Timo time happens where he gets a nice backdoor pass. Oh, my God. He was just right, perfect position. Cobra just puts it right through the slot, and Timo's just there to just tap it in. And then Timo scores again in the third, and this was his third goal ever playing in Montreal. God, does he like Bell Center, kids? Hockey jerk.
Okay, so bear with me here, but the San Jose Sharks played Les Habitants, the Blue Blanqui Rouge. Montreal scored un boot. San Jose Sharks with 4 boot. Montreal est mauvais et ils devraient se sentir mal. And parler le François est un enfer de drogue. Back to you, AJ.
Let me just say in this one, Timo Meier had a bit of a je ne sais quoi.
That too. No, Timo time. Awesome. You alluded to earlier, you know, it's almost like putting him with players who will help him score is good.
What a concept.
I mean, it was talked about all summer about how Timo Meier could very realistically hit 40 points this year. And then PDB is like, yeah, let's play him on the fourth line in a shutdown role. And then
PDB's hold my beer.
And then, well, and that's the thing. And then people freak out when he's not scoring goals. And it's like, do you see who he's playing with? Like, he's not really playing with, you know, some quality point guys here. Yeah, and
it's not like we can still throw him out there with Haley and John Scott. Come on.
Easy. Well,
and that's what I'm saying. It's like the decision to put him with the Joes is probably the best decision DeBoer has made in his 3 years here.
Rock?
I did not get to see this game because we had a cupcake party. It's a party where somebody brings unfrosted cupcakes and you all decorate your own and then you eat them or you whatever. So we had a cupcake decorated party to celebrate the new year. And Nashville is a huge football, basketball, pro wrestling town. Not too big on hockey. I know. You'd think, but they're not too big on hockey. So none of the people in this party were interested in watching anything other than like football, or I think there was like an episode of Real Housewives of Rhode Island or something on. So unfortunately, I tried. I got the scores, but I didn't see this game. Having said that, Montreal is bad and they should feel bad. Every time, huh?
Trademark.
Yeah. But they're my favorite just because of the guy who at the tank yelled, "The Sharks are better!" with a really super heavy French accent. That was the best, and I will never, ever forget that. So this was a good win, even though it was an easy win. So it's nice that they're winning games that they should win.
I for this one, the thing that set it off for me that I just got a big kick out of was hearing the PA guy, the PA announcer. For those of you who are unfamiliar, that they basically announce everything in French and then do it again in English. No biggie. But the fun part of tonight was when they announced the girl who came out to do the anthems and just laid it. Now, the girl who came out to sing was named Patricia Bernier. I'm not, it'd be really tough to try to do the version he did, but it was like, you know, and now to sing the anthems, Patricia Bernier. But it was so heavy and so thick that I was like waiting for him to do the English version. Or he's like, Patricia Bernier, Patricia Bernier. You know, that's what I was waiting for.
Well, and that it's funny that you say that, because the 4 years that he was on Tampa Bay, you know, he was Jonathan Drouin. Montreal, he's Jonathan Drouin.
Awesome. All right, so let's get the hell out of Montreal and move on to shark fights.
Yes, please.
Sharks executive vice president Flavel Hamston was evidently shown the door after only being with the Sharks for a little over 2 years, and a lot of people speculating on social media, is he being scapegoated for low attendance? Was this the plan all along? Now, while they did kind of press release this as a, you know, conscious uncoupling, mutual parting of the ways, however you want to refer to it, it still seems a little odd to fire somebody a week before Christmas. So, Hockey Jerk, how do you think this happened? What do you think's going on?
Well, I read the Mercury News who put it out, and, you know, like you said, it, you know, whatever it said, mutual short-term moving on for both parties. Yeah, blah, blah. You don't quit your job a week before Christmas unless there's something going on.
That's kind of what I was feeling. I mean, what are you feeling about this, Rock?
Oh, you're going to like this.
Uh-oh.
Get up, get down. 365 is a joke in your town.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm wondering.
Wait, hold on. Jerk, you don't get that reference at all, do you?
I'm sorry, I don't watch the World Series of Poker.
Get on. After we're done with this.
You're of a certain age, and if you're of a certain age, you're on my side.
Yeah, after Carry this. On. Go get on iTunes and Google Public Enemy. We'll talk later. So, yeah, to get back into this, Flavel being gone after that, I don't know. It just seems pretty weird, especially when you also consider, too, that just a couple of weeks earlier, he was actually taking meetings with fans, San Jose Sharks fans, on the different social media platforms. I know the Facebook Sharks fan page. I know a couple people that were season ticket holders went to have a meeting with them, and they could discuss some of their concerns. So along with that, it just feels kind of weird, but in the kind of the press release for that, it was also told that COO John Tortora has now been promoted, or I guess co-promoted with Jonathan Becker to be co-president. Does that mean he is still our BFF? I hope so. I hope that wasn't, you know, just a COO thing. But anyway, with all this moving around in the front office, it'll just be interesting to see what happens going forward. If we see any changes, will there be as many giveaways as that we've seen over the last couple of years? Will we see that next year?
Will there be as many front door giveaways and less giveaways on the ice?
Yep. Who knows?
A requirement to renew your season tickets will be that you have to own at least 3 LED bracelets.
And one bobble. Cool,
I still have like 5 from 3.
I know, I've got a bunch, because literally all you have to do is just go to one game and then scope out the people who don't want their bracelet and toss it in the trash.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's move on. Question for the room. I'll start with you, Rock. Is there any reason is there anyone on the Shark squad right now that is deserving of an all-star vote? I mean, why is Burns on this ballot, for Pete's sakes? He's a minus 16 right now.
Yeah, but he's a fan favorite. And all-star game is, as much as it's about skill and agility and the elite top gun, if you will, of of the NHL, it really, you need to get the butts in the seats. And Bernsie's beard gets the butts in the seats. And he happens to be pretty good at hockey. He's just having a really off season. Really off. Maybe he got hypnotized.
Burrito buddy.
Hmm?
He doesn't have his burrito buddy.
Yeah, that really, you really do kind of have to think that Paul Martin's absence is affecting his lack of production. That's kind of weird, but that's true. Wow. I didn't think about that. Paul, you need to come back. Like,
right?
Legit, you need to come back because Bernsie is way better with you.
What's your take on the all-star, you know, thing right now, Jerk?
Well, had he not got hurt, and I mean, I guess it's still possible, but I really thought, I don't think he should be the captain or anything, but I really think Logan Couture should go to the all-star game. Just because he goals and he's been their overall best player this year. However, as it was said on the broadcast tonight, Jumbo Joe's goal puts him on the team lead in points. So could we see Jumbo Joe at the All-Star game? It would be a hell of a story when you consider that about 8 months ago, he didn't have a leg.
Right.
Like literally, he had no leg, just a stump.
This is true.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a three-way tie in points right now. Couture, Thornton, and Burns all at 26. Don't even ask me how the hell Burns got to 26 that quickly when it was not looking good there for a while. But yeah, I totally get what Rocket's saying about how, you know, you got to have the bigger names to put butts in the seats. But sometimes I look at the some of the names that are on the All-Star ballot, and I'm going, okay, you guys are clearly giving way too much. Obviously, a lot of it is based on how they performed the prior year, and I can see it that if Burns doesn't go to the All-Star game last year. And then if he doesn't go this year, but if he just happened to win the Norris in between, that would be a little odd. I don't know. I just don't get me started. I'll go off on a rant about the whole All-Star thing. I think just drive it by points and there you go. But Rocket makes a great point. Got to put butts in the seats. For those of you who don't know, evidently social media night was last Thursday against Calgary. Did anybody know? No, because they evidently canceled it. But it was supposed to be versus Calgary. Now, this is the thing that I don't get, because if you look at the last few years, the Sharks have typically held this event towards the end of January. Last year, I think it was like January 20th, 21st, the year before that. It's like third or fourth week in January. Now, granted, what is it, the last week or whatever, we've got the All-Star break, but there was a clear sign on the schedule. Saturday the 20th versus Pittsburgh, and it's even an early game, a 5 o'clock game. That seemed like that would have been the perfect time to do social media night. So, I mean, what do you think happened, Rocket?
Perhaps this has something to do with Flavel's departure.
You would have thought, though, that this would have been scheduled from, you know, day one. Type of a thing, that this is, you know, you see the promotions that they do for where it's like the first half of the season, then they have the second half. So they obviously know there's going to be a couple of games that they already know that, well, obviously LA on a Saturday night, that's going to draw really well. We probably don't need so much in the way of a giveaway, but, you know, Carolina on a Tuesday, yeah, we might want to do the Giants hat that night. So I get that. It just seemed to me, though, that I don't know why you would do a social media night right smack bang in the middle of the holidays. Maybe that's why it was canceled.
Maybe they thought that because it was the holidays, more people were on break and home with their families, so that it would raise attendance, would inflate attendance.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm just surprised that they canceled the thing all, you know, all, full stop. I mean,
maybe they'll come up with it in like January or February, because last year was so cool. I'm so glad you prodded me into taking that damn picture with Brendan Dillon. Like, I didn't want to do it because I was just like, no, I'm too shy. I'm too shy. Hee-hee. But it's like one of my most cherished possessions ever. Like, that's so rad. So I hope that they do something else like that, because that really was kind of special.
Yeah, maybe they can tie it to Fan Appreciation Night or something, but they did – Evidently, it did get to the point, it's, you know, somewhere along the lines of that it was going to be social media night, because they did sell mystery pucks this night that had emoticons and what have you. So there was clearly, it got to some level of planning, and then I guess they just pulled the ripcord for some reason. I mean,
I still want one of those pucks with the shark head on it.
we'll talk later.
I don't want an autograph on it though. That's the thing. I want a blank one.
Oh, well, I can, you know what? They might in fact have, well, I don't know. It's going to be tough, because when I went to the hockey, I didn't go to actually Hockey Fights Cancer Night. I went to the following game, and they actually had some blank ones for sale. Maybe they'll have some for the, but you never know. Jerk, I feel like you haven't been able to discuss what happened with social media night. Get in on in here.
So I think they probably planned the social media night around, you know, some new update for the Sharks app. But then when the Sharks app was causing problems, like it always does, they probably had to cancel it. Now I'm just going to stop being a jerk. I don't know. I mean, I vividly remember social media night last year because I was not in the state. but from everything that I heard through you guys and through other friends that I have, it sounds like it was a good time. So like you said, you know, maybe they'll tie it into fan appreciation or a different night. I think that would be really cool. I think you said that maybe the Kings game didn't really make sense, but I think it would, because, you know, you think about how intense that game was. How cool would it be, like, if you just have a bunch of people, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever, talking about the game? Maybe the Sharks have some kind of hashtag they come up with and it gets trending, you know?
Absolutely. I completely agree. So I was pretty bummed out about this, because we've seen it where we've put together a little thing for, you know, what they call a tweet up that we put together for the first intermission. Sharky has come to it. We've done it before the game has started. Randy Hahn's come by and said hi. Brody, of course, has come by and said hi. So the social media nights previously were a blast. So yeah, we were pretty shocked that this didn't happen, because we were actually discussing with the Sharks, talking to them about maybe even doing a takeover for their Instagram that game or something. But alas, it was not to be. I feel like we need to move on, because there's so much more to get to.
I just want to say one thing. I picture when they announced that it was canceled, I picture Eric like running into whatever, a button
factory and saying, "Stop the presses! Eric, stop the presses!"
Eric walking in with like two handfuls of buttons. He's like, "All right, guys, here you go." And he's like all smiling, and then everybody looks and at him, and he's like, "Why do you have that look on your face?" And then he just throws all the buttons.
Oh, hey, that boy, I can't win. The buttons.
Yeah.
We love you, Eric.
Yeah, it was really sick. Well, and the thing is, they didn't even announce, they never announced a social media night. They never announced that it was canceled. I mean, when I bought my mystery pucks at Calgary, you know, and it had an emoticon, I go, "This looks like a social media night." Well, I go, "Are you going to have something like this available on social media night too?" And they straight up said, "Yeah, this was actually supposed to be social media night." And I'm like, "All right, well, good press. Well, good PR for that. Thanks a lot." Anyway.
I still have a button that says Pucknology on it.
There you go. the Sharks have scored a power play in 9 straight games. Yeah, mine says Pucknology too. Sweet. So I've put my drum away for the time being. Can kind of put that in storage for a little while. But I was going to get into a thing about, do we need to talk about where we're going to go? Is it time for a fire sale yet? You know, the Sharks don't have a second or a third round right now in the next draft, and guys are getting older, but we will save that for, the bye week.
So why don't we save that for when the Sharks aren't in a playoff spot?
Well, hey, maybe now. You know what? That may in fact happen by the time we're in the bye week. You never know. I mean, you know, that's the funny thing about the this schedule right now, is the fact that 11 points separate first from last in the Metro and the Central, while 30 points separate the first and last in the Atlantic and the Pacific. So things could happen at a very quick clip You could very well see Calgary, Anaheim overtake the Sharks here over the next couple of days. So we'll, or next couple of games, I should say. So let's move on to the three stars of the week, or what we like to call.
Oh, good for you.
Our number three star starts with Hockey Jerk, your third.
My number three star is Mr. Brendan Dillon, because for all of the crap and criticism that he's had thrown on him in the last 3 years, he's come around, and I'm going to say it, 10 games, he's been the Sharks' best defenseman. Because, you know, for all that's said about how, you know, Brent Burns can't play hockey without Paul Martin, I've thought that that is crap from day one, because Brendan Dillon skating is noticeably better. And we saw that in the Montreal game, where he went from blue line to offensive zone faceoff dot in like one stride. And his defensive awareness is much better. His strength on his stick and on the puck is much better. And he's really allowed Brent Burns to kind of do his thing. And I think, you know, if you look at Brent Burns' stat line over the last, he's got something stupid like 15 or 16 points. So, you know, the numbers are there. Brendan Dillon might be good.
Yay!
No, yeah, Burns has definitely come out of his shell over the last few games now that Dillon's been slotted with them. So good choice, good value with that pick. My number third star is going to go to Joe Thornton, only because he came this close, a scooch away from getting someone $100,000 versus Vancouver. Potted two goals. Everybody was talking about, oh, please, God, let him get two more. Please let him score four. Everybody wanted the rooster, the million-dollar rooster, if you will. Couldn't get there, but at least 100K would have been nice, but so close. So, but Jumbo is good enough to be my third. Rocket?
Million-dollar rooster, name of my autobiography. I think, I honestly think, like, at this point, I don't think it's not in Joe Thornton's personality to embrace the challenge of the rooster trick. At this point in his career, maybe he needs a little bit more of a challenge than the other guys do. He's been in the game a long time. So it's good to set long-term goals, good to set short-term goals, you know, and we're not in playoffs yet. So I think just to kind of to keep things interesting for himself and keep things fun, but still stay in production and, you know, really help the team, I think maybe he's kind of taken on this rooster chick challenge. Perhaps there's a wager in the locker room going on with this. But I can't, like, again, I can't say that there's anything that's not, like, I don't see him being like, oh, no. That's not my personality at all. Like, I really would see him doing, like, four in the net and Joe's pants down we get, you know. That's cool.
Can I just make a quick point really quick?
Yes.
So I watched a little clip, and Joe Thornton, and he was saying that this year was the first season in his entire career that he has started using a two-piece stick as opposed to a one-piece stick. So I'm wondering if the new stick, because the two-piece sticks are lighter, I'm wondering if he feels more confident in his shot with a two-piece stick.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he feels, like, light and snappy.
I know.
Yeah. My third? Who's my third? My third is going to be Aaron Dell, because, God, he's great.
I mean, there's not a lot you can say about that. I mean, he got that start versus the Canucks, got the win. He just, you know, beat Montreal, plus came in to do a little bit of mop-up duty versus Dallas. I mean, he's played some minutes since, you know, the time, so that's good value.
Well, see, I remember what it was like when we had the option of our starter goalie, Antti Niemi, or a backup goalie, Al Stalock. And when Al Stalock was in net, you really just weren't comfortable, and neither was anybody on the ice, because they wouldn't get anywhere away from the net. They were in full defense mode all the time. It was bad because they didn't trust him. And he makes some really amazing plays, and he's very physical, and he challenges in some really bold moves, but a lot of the time it backfires spectacularly, and that kind of stuff is the thing that gives me bald patches and makes my hair turn white. So Arundel gets my third star because he doesn't do that to me. He gives me all sorts of like warm security blanket. Everything is going to be the okayest in the world. And I like that. So he gets my third.
Good reference. Second star. I'm going with Tomasz Hertl because fun must be always. But you know what must not be always? Playing center. Because he hasn't been doing that a whole lot this season. But with Couture out, he's had to slot in right there, and he has done it much better than we've seen him play center previous to this. So Hertl becoming kind of the replacement for what Marlowe was with the kind of his Swiss Army knife. It's, oh, you need me on the wing? You got it. Need me at center? Okay, no problem. Need me on the second line? You do it. First line? Sure, absolutely. Third line? Okay, just ready to go. So Hertl, you my numero dos. Rocket?
Who's my number two? I think it's going to go to Logan Couture, just because he's back and he still looks like Logan. He's getting his man face. Like the older he gets, the less like a horse he looks and the more like a man he looks. And it's like he's a man playing hockey. But his eyebrows always speak the truth. And I appreciate that about him and his post-game interviews. He's got a great shot and he still snipes. Like he's just sheer points grabber. So I appreciate that about him. And I want to see him continue to produce. Second star, Doug Mature.
Cool. I know we talked about Dallas, you know, a big dump. So, Jerk, you're number two.
My number two is going to be Kevin LeBanc because he's the same kind of player as I was talking earlier about Brendan Dillon, where a lot of people are sleeping on him because he hasn't scored a goal in, like, what feels like a fortnight, but, you know, he comes in, he's playing, you know, he's playing with the Cobra, he's playing with Logan Couture, he's playing with Hertl, and he's got himself a hefty little point spread going on. I could be butchering these numbers, but I believe in the last 14 games, he has something like 11 or 12 points, which is amazing when you consider that he was not really somebody that was on everyone's radar a year and a half ago. And now he's actually putting in a lot of work on the Sharks team that, you know, was struggling without Logan Couture and was having questions about, you know, Thornton and Marlowe and to a lesser extent, guys like Hertl and Donskoy. So Banker number two.
And time for number one, Rocket.
My number one is going to go to Brendan Dillon. Because of all the things that Hockey Jerk said, plus the fact that I knew this when he got here. I knew he was going to be a great addition to the team. I've been a fan of that guy since day one. Anyway, so yeah, Brendan Dillon gets my first star. Next.
Hockey Jerk, your numero uno.
My numero uno is going to be Mr. Timo Time, Timo Nucleosis. The man who seems like he's always wearing sandals whenever I see him, Timo Meier. Because same kind of thing. You're going to sense a theme with my three stars here. Another guy was looked upon as somebody who needed to pull a lot of weight and did not start that way. But going into tonight, I believe he's got four goals in his last four games, which is a streak that any player would be proud of, whether you're a goal scorer or you're the backup goalie. So I think Timo is starting to flash, you know, what we were all hoping for when the Sharks took a chance on him 3 years ago in the draft. And I'm really expecting big things from him because it looks like PDB has accepted that Timo belongs with the Joe and Joe line.
I'm done with that. My number one is, and we've already heard the name mentioned, Kevin LeBanc. I actually studied up a little bit more. So, LeBanc 9 points over the last six games. And what's funny, it was one of those games nobody scored in. Again, I refer you to the big dump in D. So you toss that. I mean, LeBanc quietly on a streak right now. You're not hearing a whole lot about him. But I'm fine with that. Stay under the radar and just keep putting up those points, Banker. So if you were named one of our three stars of the week.
Oh, good for you.
And just a really nothing to go around the horn on this time. So you will have to deal with the next time. But we wanted to remind you, January 7th, we have it planned for the Teal Town Takeover at Famous Dave's Barbecue at the plant on what street is that? At Kirtner. There you go. It's in the Kirtner shopping area called the plant.
It's the plant.
You know what? I'm sorry?
It's the plant. Can I give you a fun fact about that area?
Sure. I know it's across from a... Go ahead.
Yeah. So across the street from Famous Dave's, over there somewhere, is some guy that they fished out of the wreckage of the Titanic. Buried in Oak Hill.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of weird, huh?
All right. Gives you something to do.
Come over to Famous Dave's, then cross the streets for a little bit of history. Why not? Yeah.
Something to do during intermission. So we're doing Teal Town Takeover in the back room, January 7th versus the Winnipeg Jets. So come down for a little barbecue, a little West Side Story. We'll probably have a couple things to give out to you. And other than that, I'll just throw it over to Jerk if you would like to say anything about the recent international play or if you would like to give us an update on the CUDA.
Well, the Barracuda will be short and sweet because I unfortunately have not really paid as much attention as I did last year, but I do know the Barracuda have pretty much been at a win one, lose one kind of run this whole season. John McCarthy, Barracuda captain, was named to Team USA for the Olympics yesterday, which was, no disrespect, kind of a shock when you consider how many, you know, outstanding young American players there are, whether it's in, you know, college or the USHL or even in juniors, but I'm still pumped for the guy nonetheless. You know, he's a guy, you talk about Sharks for life, and even though he's not technically under contract with the Sharks, you know, he's been around the organization for a long time. Rudolph Balkers, you know, started out really slow and has found his way as the leading point man for the Barracuda. And that's always fun to see because there were a lot of concerns about, you know, how many people graduated from the Barracuda to the Sharks. And there was worry about the Barracuda not being able to score, but it seems like every time you get the puck on Balker's stick, he is doing something with it. And then internationally, the World Junior Championship, I know that the medal round bracket was released, I believe, this morning. And I know former Teal Town USA writer Drew Weber has been watching Team Czech, but I don't really know anything beyond that. And then the Spangler Cup on New Year's Eve with Team Canada defeating Team Switzerland to capture their third straight Spangler Cup and 15th overall.
Hey, now. Well, thank you for that. We go on to previews and predictions. Let's not get crazy, kids. At Toronto, at Ottawa, at Winnipeg, we're all just still up there in Eastern Canada for the remainder of this before the Sharks go on a bye, which means that we likely will as well here relatively soon. So at Toronto, of course, now the Sharks. You think, wouldn't it be cool if just like Patrick Marleau had to sit on the bench while all the Sharks went in the center of the ice and Marleau just by himself had to give the Sharks like a 3-minute standing ovation just to kind of invert what happened. Anyway, you know, back into Marleau's house here. Toronto, you know, third in their division. So you have that. Ottawa, not doing so well, just above Buffalo in the Atlantic, and then at the Peg, who is number one in the Central, just 2 points behind Vegas for the West. So, Rocket, what say you on these games? And if I remember correctly, I think we beat Toronto in Marleau's return, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we beat Ottawa, and I'm pretty damn sure we beat Winnipeg when they were here. So, deal with that.
Right. So, the Leaves. How are the Leaves doing? The Leaves are doing pretty good lately. They have weird losses here and there. I know they lost to the Knights, but then again, who hasn't? I say that our chances are as good as anything. So, we're going to win in overtime.
Interesting. The Toronto 3-6-1 over their last 10. All right.
Versus Ottawa. Senators, we're going to win.
Also 3-6-1 over their last 10.
Winnipeg's going to go to a shootout and we're going to win.
Hey, now 6-3-1 over their last 10. Hockey Jerk, what say you?
I think the Sharks are going to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime because Toronto has been struggling to find some offense, but they are still a pretty damn good team. So I think Sharks are going to win in overtime, but Marleau is going to have at least a goal, maybe more. Against the Ottawa Senators, as probably as good as they should be when you look at their roster, are in a severe sense of turmoil. And I think the Sharks are going to win 4-0. And then against Winnipeg, the Sharks, despite Winnipeg not having their best player, I think the Sharks are still going to lose this one. But it's going to be close. It's probably going to be in a shootout. And then for the bye week, we will say bye.
I think we're all going to win during the bye week.
Yeah,
that is very true.
For Toronto, I think the Sharks are probably, I don't know. I just got this weird feeling they're going to win that one. They probably shouldn't, but they, and it wouldn't be surprising if it was a game like that where, you know, especially maybe if it's karma retribution for that dump in Dallas. But yeah, I think we get the win in Toronto. The Sharks, Ottawa has a minus 30 right now. They're playing barely 500 hockey at home. So it almost feels like that's like a trap game. So I feel like the Sharks are going to lose to Ottawa. And Winnipeg are killing it at home. But they've only lost 3 home games. So I think Winnipeg's going to beat them too. So I'm thinking, yeah, unfortunately, I think the Sharks are going to go 1-2 over the next 3. But we'll see what happens. Stranger things have occurred. Hockey Jerk, a final thought on whether people can find you on social media.
So, final thoughts. We just came back from the Christmas and New Year break, and then the bye week and the All-Star game are already coming up. We are getting to the point where it's closer to the end of the season than it is the beginning. And that's crazy because it seems like all summer, at least, you know, once or twice a day, we always say, oh, is this many days till hockey comes back? And then we're already almost halfway done with it. So here's hoping the Sharks can take how they played against Montreal, Les Habitants, and play that way in the second half of the season. And, you know, I was very pessimistic about their chances should they make the playoffs, but I think the Pacific Division is so wide open that if the things fall the right way, the Sharks could have a really really good second half of the season. And you can follow me on Twitter and nowhere else at @hockey_jerk. The second and final game against Montreal has ended, which means I will no longer be tweeting using Google Translate. I don't have anything else to add.
All right. Whew. I was worried if you were going to get through that before the bye started. Rocket, final thoughts on where the people can find you.
I don't know. Final thoughts? I have no final thoughts. Welcome to the new year, 2018. These are your Sharks. Take them or leave them. Hopefully you take them, but beware, because if you take this, there's a lot of emotional baggage involved.
I know.
Yeah. This is a heavy team. They have the capacity for greatness and the propensity to drive themselves into a wall.
Great word.
Thank you. There is a lot about this team that I love. There's a lot about, there's a couple things here and there that I'm not too keen on. But in general, there's still the bunch of boys that I prefer over all 31 clubs in the NHL. So even if they're dead last, I'm still going to stick by these boys and just be like, oh, they're terrible this year. They'll get better eventually. Oh, I can't deal with anything else but this misery. So, all right, whatever. Like, it's not playoffs. I just hope that they do a good job. Win or lose, do a good job. I'm so maternal. Just do good, honey. It's fine. You'll get a participation trophy at the end. It's great. Nah, it's tough to get super intense of just before the bye week, you know, because the bye week is a double-edged sword. It goes both ways. If you're on a hot streak, it can stop you dead in your tracks. But if you're not doing too well, sometimes a week's rest is all you need to just get lit. My name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me on Twitter, capital R, capital B, little Backhander 76. I talk a lot about hockey and how bloody cold it is here in Nashville. We are on day 4 straight of sub-freezing temperatures. It's weird to not watch ice cubes melt. Let's see what else. You can follow me on Instagram, taking picture of said non-melting ice cubes. Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word. And I think that's it. Yeah, AJ.
Cool. For me, yeah, final thought, kind of the same thing. Just after the end of the week, you finish out that stretch. That's 40 games. You're almost at the exact halfway point when you hit that bye. Good place to be. Good time to assess stuff. Take a little break. Get ready to gear up for the second half. So I'm trying to be positive, guys. I'm trying to be. And then I look at guys like Bodker and I want to throw myself out a window.
But if it's not Bodker, it's Scott Hannon. If it's not Scott Hannon, no, it's Yannick Hansen.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's never going to stop. It's just part of the party.
It's always going to be a whipping boy somewhere. Right. So you can find me on the social media on Twitter at @AJ_strong. It's the same on Instagram. Don't forget, though, to follow the big boys out, the big club, Teal Town USA, at Teal Town USA, both Twitter and Instagram, and to keep up to date with what we're doing here on the Pucknologist. Follow us on Twitter at Pucknologist. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Follow that Twitter at Pucknologist. Thanks for tuning in to show 36, and I leave you with this. Aaron Dell, 19-8-1 is in his NHL career, yet 0-3-0 when he's on my fantasy team. Good night, everybody.